And we're back. We're live. We're welcome back to another episode of the Total Football Analysis Women's Football Podcast. It's the 7th of March at 9:57 p.m. local time in Dubai. The complete opposite in the U.S. with Gavin here. But as always, we're back. First of all, I'd like to apologize for last week's absence. I don't know if many people realize, but we weren't on last week. But we're here now. Gavin was sick. Things came up, and then we couldn't. But we're back, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks we'll have a bonus episode for you guys to make up for the lack of our sounds on the airwaves. Gavin, how are you feeling now after being sick for a week?
I'm good. Got sick over last weekend. It completely threw my timetable off for everything, both recording and writing. So I've been as fast as possible trying to catch up over this week, and I think I'm slowly getting back to in a groove now. So
that's good. That's good. I mean, you rather want this to happen at the beginning of the month than the end, because at the end we always have those two, three pieces that are due, and then it just becomes a nightmare, and then timings are way off. But no, it's good to be back. It's good to be back here and sitting here talking to you. All things women's football and tactics. So I think today's episode is I think it's fair to say it's highly anticipated. People really wanted us to cover these topics, and we said last month we'd get onto it, and I think we've come onto it quicker than we thought we would get onto it. But circumstances brought us here, and we decided why not get it done now. So we're going to be covering the Wolfsburg women's team and Pernell Harder in today's episode, and really going to focus on that team and Harder, and how and possibly look at how the links that she has with the move in the summer to United and Chelsea, and see kind of what does she fit there, does she not fit there, do they really need her, what the situation is, and what we can do from there. My Pernell Harder analysis piece came out today, and it's fair to say in a small sense for me it kind of blew up, which was pretty amazing and pretty humbling. So it was nice to see that people loved it and the support was there. And Gavin here is going to have his written piece out on Monday or Tuesday. I don't quite know, but basically Monday or Tuesday you can look out for that. But you know what? We're here. We're going to be talking about it in detail and in depth on the podcast. So onwards to the podcast. Okay, Mr. Gavin. Let's begin. Wolfsburg, fantastic team. They've won the Bundesliga for the last few years, and they're just far and above the best team in Germany. But I think let's take it back. Let's break it down here. Well, let's look at the team setup. Let's look at their defensive structure, their offensive structure, their build-up play, and kind of what is it about Wolfsburg that makes them this championship level team? Take it away.
Yeah. So obviously what you said, just they've been, just sweeping aside teams in the Bundesliga. I think Bayern Munich are giving them a good run this year. But they've just been a European superpower for years on years at this point. And the biggest thing that stood out to me watching them play in this past week has just been the complexity and the just fluidity that they play with. Like, you have certain times that you'll see them in a known structure, but they're never in one kind of system or setup for more than like a couple minutes. Like, they're always consistently mixing it up, players shifting in between positions. They're all super flexible with where they play and how they're able to play. And it really just creates just a bunch of different dynamics that they're able to use that make it almost impossible for oppositions to be able to really have any success defending against them. One of the biggest things that stood out to me watching was in with that, they're just very big difference in how they set up in each game, depending on their opposition. And I think it's long debated in general. You know, do you play against your opposition? Like, do you play your game against your opposition, or do you tailor it to fit to defend against them or to counter them? And they're able to do essentially both at the same time. And it's just with how well drilled they are and everything, and how, again, flexible all their players are at doing all these different jobs, they can go in between playing their game, and then when they need to shift, depending on situationally in game or depending like on a variety of reasons, they can change that up. So one of the big things we saw was the just stark difference in the way they played games against specifically Bayern Munich in the league, and then the rest of almost the rest of the league. You know, when they're playing against most teams, they like to dominate possession. They like to control the game. They like to always be attacking. But Bayern Munich have an emphasis on, you know, maintaining possession. You know, they use a three-back system. And they like to get their wing backs high, and they like to just kind of pin their oppositions back in. And Wolfsburg almost kind of lets it happen because of how comfortable they are in their defensive setup and their pressing setup and everything. And that's one thing that we'll talk on a lot today, is just their pressing scheme and pressing structures is just nothing that an opponent is able to just fully ever get comfortable with because of all these systems that they can change into. So I'll stick on that Bayern Munich match that I watched, for example. I believe they actually ended up tying 1-1. But for large periods of the game, they just set off. They would sit in their 4-4-2 or 4-2-3-1, depending on you know, where Bayern had the ball. And for the most part, anytime Bayern were in their own defensive third, Wolfsburg would just let off and just let them hold possession there. It wasn't until Bayern tried to initiate possession moving into the middle third of the pitch that they really started to press and go into their structures like that. You know, you see, as we said, harder switching in between, you know, almost attacking mid-roll and striker. She's would constantly switch depending on where the possession is played and pressing the center backs or dropping in to help the midfield and just trying to make life extremely difficult to try and get beyond that first line of press, the two forwards and then the outside midfielders. When Bayern were able to bypass that initial press, then they were dropping into their deeper block. They were dropping into a solid 4-4-2 formation, making the lines really compact and making it really difficult for Bayern to play through. And they did. I mean, there was very few times in the game that they were really stretched ever. They all knew what they were, their roles on the side, and they were all extremely diligent carrying them out. And so it made it really easy for him to be able to defend like that for such long periods of time in the game, with Bayern Munich wanting and putting such an emphasis on holding possession. And then looking forward, they always look forward to try and get quick counterattacks. You know, touched on Bayern's three-back formation. One thing they emphasized was looking to get in those channels. Using that 4-4-2 formation that Wolfsburg do, their midfield was constantly kind of getting overloaded by Bayern. Bayern put a big emphasis on making sure they had numerical superiority in that midfield. So Wolfsburg was constantly putting it over the top and into these channels for one of the two strikers or the two wide midfielders to kind of get onto the end of. This is where I think they had very varying levels of success, you know, playing a long ball like that so consistently. It became a little bit like expected by Bayern, and they dealt with it well for majority of the matches, but just due to Wolfsburg quality and ability that they have on the ball, I mean, you can never really count them out of being able to create a good attacking opportunity. But that game was very interesting just to kind of see the defensive structures that they're able to implement and be successful with. And that's something that's going to be really, really important. You know, at the end, later this month, we go into the knockout stages of the Champions League. So, you know, against your Lyons, against your Arsenals, PSGs, they're going to be teams that are going to be looking to have possession for a majority of the time. And Wolfsburg showing that they're equally comfortable in possession as they are out of possession. And that'll serve them really well in that competition going forward. I'd like to, before carrying on into the more their kind of main structures in possession and attacking football, get your thoughts on that.
I love the assessment that you've got there of them, and I think talking about the Champions League, I think the one game I'd love to see is Arsenal versus Wolfsburg. Just I want to see while you know, like you said, we saw against Bayern Munich how they kind of let them have the ball. You know, they kind of when they were building out from the back, Bayern Munich, they kind of said, okay, you guys can have the ball, you can pass it between yourselves. Once you get it into midfield, we will then situationally, you know, press up and go for broken and start, you know, winning back position in that area. Now, with all due respect to Bayern Munich, they aren't the strongest team in the league, whereas Arsenal are, you know, top two in the WSL. And seeing someone of Arsenal's quality with the players that they possess in midfield and up front, you know, I mean, when you got Leo Williamson, you know, Schneiderbeck, you've got the two wing backs, you've got, you know, Lea Volti in midfield, Kim Little, Giroud, you know, you've got all of these really amazing ball players and, you know, players who can really carry possession, you know, quite well. I want to see how Wolfsburg cope with that level of, you know, that quality, and whether their press in midfield through, you know, Gunnar Stoddier, Harder, and the rest of them, whether they can kind of, you know, match up and actually, you know, hold that block against such a well-established team, I think, because not even in midfield, and they've got to worry about Miedema up front, they've got to worry about Daniela van der Donk, they would have to worry about Beth Mead as well. So when you've got quick players, technical players, you know, in possession, I think it comes down to their defensive structure, because obviously we know on a counter-attacking situation, the team is fantastic. I think with the likes of, you know, Eva Pior, I don't know how to pronounce her name. It's a Polish name. I apologize to our Polish listeners out there if there are any. And please correct my pronunciation next time if you get the chance to. But she's a quick striker. I mean, it's going to be her trying to get in behind a defense. So kind of getting the likes of Harder and Alexandra Popp on the ball to get it, you know, get players in behind, I think that'll be a test. And I think on the other side, I'm not worried about Wolfsburg going forward, because like you said, I mean, Wolfsburg are just, you know, one thing I want to agree with you is their shape. I mean, I think they're both their offensive and defensive structures in terms of their shape is fantastic. I mean, like you said, they keep switching almost formations within a match multiple times, where so the opponent doesn't even know, okay, so out of possession, are they going to be in a 4-4-2? Are they going to be in a 4-4-1-1? Are they going to be in a 4-3-3? Like, or even like a 3-5-2? Like, what are they going to play in? And I think that sort of element of surprise really gives them the edge in a lot of these games. And like you said, they've got the experience to play against teams that they dominate possession against and ones that they don't. And then they kind of have their game plan for both. And I think that becomes a very important factor in the latter stages of the Champions League. And I think, after doing all this research and kind of looking at the teams, I wouldn't be surprised if Wolfsburg reached the final and went all the way, because thinking about it, imagine a Lyon-Wolfsburg final, you know, in some sense, and you have one of the most aggressive and dominant teams in women's football versus a team that is excellent against, you know, these sort of dominant possession dominant teams. That's a battle I'd love to see. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, it's something. I had never really seen a team until kind of doing this that I really put on that tier with Lyon. You know, we spent a good amount of time doing PSG, and then, of course, with our time doing so much WSL, like getting used to those teams. But Wolfsburg's just the their tactics and just how they move from within them is just beyond those teams that we've seen. I like your point, just talking about that kind of that midfield battle with some teams like Arsenal, for example, and just the ability that they possess in that midfield area. Because I think that's ultimately where Wolfsburg's success will come down to, is how they can effectively maneuver that. I think it kind of transitions well into just kind of Wolfsburg's just kind of attacking looks, in that I'll get your opinion on it in a second after I'm kind of done going through my spiel. But like, at times they almost don't have a midfield when they have possession. Of course, they set up in their 4-4-2, but one of the two central midfielders drops extremely deep right in front of the defensive line, and then the other one actually goes almost as a right or left forward, depending on which side Herder goes to, off the striker, and they play with either five or even seven at sometimes up on that front line, depending on how attacking the fullbacks get. And they just look to maximize just as much space as they can possibly get out there. You know, the wingers try and keep wide to keep the fullbacks from being able to come inside. And that central midfielder that steps forward and harder, they try and work in those half spaces between the fullbacks and the center backs, and just look to drop slightly in between the two lines, the midfield and defense, and receive possession there. And then they look for the striker for their other player inside, or they look out wide to try and attack from within. But they're just completely all around just overloading the opposition's defensive line when they're in possession. And they almost have, with dropping midfielder, it's just like they have two or three kind of, I'm going to make an American football reference, but it's almost like they just have quarterback roles, where they're just looking, they're just waiting, and they're just waiting for somebody to come into a little pocket of space, and they're just playing these passes through the lines into them, and just going almost basically from the defensive line to the attacking line with so much speed, the teams just aren't able to control it. And that you can't sit too deep on them, because then the initial players will just come forward and just continue to just make life difficult for the attackers and the midfielders of the opposition. It's nothing like anything I've seen before. I'll just say that. I watched primarily their 7-0 win over Bayer Leverkusen. And I mean, they were just attacking for fun with it. They had just all the freedom to do whatever they were wanting to do, and they just were, every single time they were in possession, they were getting the ball behind the defensive line and getting a chance or a goal. I can't say enough just how fascinating this Wolfsburg team is to watch, really.
Yeah, no. It's unreal. I mean, I saw the highlights of the Bayer Leverkusen game you're talking about, and it's almost like every attack that they had was going to result in a goal. It was, they were that good. And I saw the game against SC Sand, and while the team isn't the best, they are seventh in the league, but you know, the game that they had against them, I think they won they won about 4-0 away from home, but Wolfsburg, but like, it was just every attack, they just carved them open, and you could almost see, and it was almost because of just one or two of their players needed to just move between, just kind of, you know, moved players out of position. You had the movement of Payor kind of just controlling the center backs. You got Harder kind of playing in between the lines. So that puts a dilemma for the opposition midfielder defense, like who goes towards her? How do you do anything? And like you talked about the moving central midfielders, yes, I think one trying to drops back in and kind of acts as like a deep lying center back at times and protecting the defense. But the other one kind of just moves forward, and that kind of gives Harda the opportunity to kind of just roam around and kind of do what she wants in almost a free roll, you know. It then kind of allows the team to kind of create overloads in like certain areas of the pitch that they want to have the ball in. So it's almost like wherever they have the ball, they don't care for the switch of play because they know that they have enough players in that area to overload and, gain numerical superiority. And whether they have a through pass or they have, you know, interchanges between themselves, they know that they have enough players there to kind of get the ball through. And if by any chance they lose possession, they've still got 2+1, 3 players at the back at the minimum to kind of cover them. And then obviously you've then got one or if not two of the fullbacks, you know, sprinting back to kind of create a 5, a 6. But I think they've almost got the balance right. I'd be afraid of them doing this against bigger teams with better quality and quicker, you know, quicker on the counterattack. But I'd be intrigued to see how that would work out against more dominant teams. And I think that's why we've seen it against Bayern, that they kind of hold a bit more of a shape with the two. They don't kind of drift away too far apart from each other, but at the same time they still kind of have elements of that elements of the of them kind of splitting away and doing things. And I think the one of the more important things, I think the two wide players, I think Alexander Popp plays a bit more of an inside role further forward. So while she is the left winger, she does like to drift in and kind of play in that half space. And whether she goes up, you know, goes wide again, puts in a cross or kind of cuts inside, I think that's kind of for her to deal with. But then, you know, on the other side, it's kind of a different story. So I like the balance that they have on two sides, and kind of one player almost kind of drifting in to kind of almost make up for the lack of central midfielders. But I think they've found this system where without actually having a midfield and having an actual pivot of some sort, they're managing to kind of get goals and not being exploited as much as say other teams would normally be in the situation.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think going back to the kind of the Bayern game that we talked about, I think that's more along the lines of something that we'll be seeing at least similar to when in those latter stages of the Champions League. They have the defensive ability to be able to go those long portions of the match, you know, defending deep and looking to hit these teams out on the counterattack. And so I think we'll see kind of a nice little balance between the two. I don't know how much you'll see of a central midfielder trying to get forward quite as much, you know, for that very reason of not wanting to get caught out on the counterattack. But I think we'll definitely look for, you know, almost maybe a 4-2-4 at times. The wide midfielder is trying to get forward and trying to keep that width to allow the two strikers up top to be able to kind of move the opposition's center backs and try and make that space for a ball in behind or for anything like that. Do you know by any chance who? I cannot remember who they have in the quarterfinals.
Oh, they've got Glasgow City.
Okay. So I don't see them having any problem in that. I want to say they have the winner of Atletico Madrid and Barcelona in the semifinal.
That would be a game to watch.
I can't imagine. If I had to guess, they'd probably be playing Barcelona.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't rule Atletico Madrid out of it completely. But yeah, you'd think that it would be Barcelona to kind of take them through. I'm actually just gonna look at the draw now if I can quickly pull it up and just to kind of give us an indication of who's playing what where.
I know it's set up nicely for this final we've been talking about of Wolfsburg and Leon,
yeah. No, you're right. So basically, it's going to be Arsenal or PSG versus Lyon Bayern, and then Glasgow Wolfsburg versus Atletico Barcelona. So you're absolutely right. The quarterfinal draw alone is fantastic. The semifinal draw is just unbelievable. I mean, play Arsenal versus Lyon or PSG versus Bayern or PSG versus Lyon. is a stellar tie. Then you've got Wolfsburg versus Atletico Barcelona. You know, it's just another fantastic one. And it's honestly, like, I couldn't I can't believe that this is something where you know, we get to see the season. And if anything, while we thought last season was big, I think this season just looks even better. And if we just have a fact here, you know, Wolfsburg beat Lyon in their debut final in 2013, but they've lost them in the last four seasons, you know, and that is something that I think Wolfsburg will want to avenge. And their record in quarterfinals are, they've won five, lost two. And again, that's always been Lyon. So again, at the end of the day, I think this Lyon team this season are beatable. And I think that's mainly down to the fact that they've changed their manager. He's wanted to change their system a little bit. And he's wanted, you know, he's kind of putting his own stamp on there. So, and with no Otto Hegerberg, I think it's an open field. And while we will have a Champions League special at some point, I think with no Otto Hegerberg, I think that changes the complexions of the teams completely. So, it'll be interesting to see how Bayern do against Lyon. I think Lyon should get past Bayern Munich, but once they reach the next stage, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll definitely be interesting to see. And I think this is, again, a fantastic set of ties that we've got to look forward to.
Yeah, no, it'll be exciting. But it feels like it's been forever since we were writing about Champions League matches. It's kind of crazy.
So we'll now move into the second part of the podcast and the agenda, and we'll now look more closely at Pernille Harder and her role in Wolfsburg, and kind of see how we can kind of place her in kind of the overall structure that we just talked about, you know, and see kind of why she's been linked with some of, you know, two, three of the biggest clubs in the world, and what she can kind of bring to them. So, you know, Harder is, you know, to me, she's been the central figure and the focal point of this Wolfsburg team. You know, she's a natural striker. She's number nine, but then she can play as an attacking midfielder. She can play as a second striker role. She can play out on the wings. She can play anywhere across the front four. And that in itself is quite a feat. And she can play any of those roles really, really well. Now, like we said, Wolfsburg kind of mainly operate in a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1 structure and formation, and she kind of plays as either the number 10 or the number 9, depending on, you know, whether it's a 4-2-3-1 or the 4-4-2. But I think there's one common thing in each of them, that she does not actually play as an out-and-out striker. Now, in my analysis, I had kind of likened her to the Roimdeuter position. Kind of similar to what Thomas Müller does. While that is something there, and that'll become more clear as we go into this conversation, she does love, I mean, her thing is finding space and kind of using it to its full capacity and full potential. But I think, to me, she kind of plays a similar role to what Roberto Firmino does for Liverpool. While they only play with one striker in their 4-3-3, even though she plays as a two, she kind of plays that same thing where she drops into midfield to kind of create space for her strike partner to run in behind, and the wingers to kind of place balls in, and for her to kind of, you know, play through balls through to behind, you know, behind defenses. So generally what she does is she loves dropping into, you know, she drops living into that zone 14 area just outside the box, collecting possession either from the deeper midfielders or from the fullbacks or wingers. And kind of why she does this is because she kind of drops in, pulls in, you know, a center back or midfielder, and she's excellent in small tight spaces as well. Well, like I said, like, well, she does excel in using a lot of, you know, finding space. If she is crowded out, she's got great footwork, nimble feet to be able to kind of play herself out of it and kind of play the ball out of danger and kind of keep the ball rolling for Wolfsburg and keep the momentum going. And what makes her even more, you know, what makes her positioning even more amazing is the fact that she's already got 21 goals in 14 games as we speak right now. for someone playing as almost like a false nine second striker role, having 21 goals and 14 appearances is unreal. That's almost 1.45 goals per 90 minutes. And it's unbelievable. I mean, it's you don't see those numbers very often. The only player who can bring up numbers close to that are, you know, main strikers. Again, you add Hegerbergs. This season, you got Marie-Antoinette Cadotto from PSG, who's got 28, 29 goals. In the WSL, Bethany England has 10 plus goals, you know. You know, then you've got Ellen White, Lauren Hemp, you know, you've got all these players, you know, around, and Vivian Miedema, you know, how can I forget her? You've got all these, but all these players are central strikers to their team. They're not false nines. They play, you know, they play as the team's focal point. Whereas, you know, Parter is an attacking midfielder, if anything, you know? So I think that's for me is fantastic. I think her biggest and most excellent trait, like we said, is her positional intelligence. I think for me, her ability to find space, use it to attack, and kind of make the, you know, kind of always be basically always evading the opposition press or the opposition markers. Like, teams can't mark her because, like we said earlier, she kind of has this free role. Like, sometimes you'll find her on left wing between the center back and full back. Then you've got to deal with the fact of the, you know, the numerical superiority on that side. Do the fullbacks keep a check on Harder? Does the center back keep a check on her? But then you've got, you know, the striker running in behind, one of the central midfielders running in behind. You've got the fullback then running in, you know, on the overlap. So it kind of creates a lot of confusion. And she kind of then, you know, has this free reign there. So there's a lot of examples of where we've seen her movement and positioning between the lines seem so effortless. Well, she'll get a ball from midfield. As always, it's like she has a ton of space around her. But her football IQ is so high that she can kind of just take possession. She already knows the next three moves before even doing it. So she kind of takes possession, releases a pass, you know, whether it's inwards or outwards to the fullback or the onrushing midfielders and strikers. And, you know, she's then making the next move to either receive the return pass or kind of get into a position where once play has kind of, you know, had a few interchanges, say, on another side, she's kind of part of the net in the final phase of play, whether it's coming on the end of a cross or, you know, whether she's on the edge of the box waiting for a cutback so she can shoot, you know. And I think to me that's been, you know, her best trait. Like, I was looking at this game against SC Sandoué, and, you know, the opposite, they were defending in a solid 4-4-2 formation, and kind of the ball's on left wing, kind of hanging around over there, and the winger is, the fullback kind of is playing it inwards towards Harder. Now, look, now, there are two midfielders and wide players kind of coming in to try and close her down, but there's still enough space for her. But she knows she gets the ball. She's going to play a pass through behind the defense. There's acres of space in behind, you know, and her strike partner's on the edge of the shoulder. So she already knows, once I get the ball, I'm playing it through, and then I know that my striker's going to get onto it, but she doesn't end it there. She plays the ball. She kind of runs across. Now, the winger, fullback that kind of played the initial pass also makes a run through. Run through the defense, and what happens is the winger gets a return pass. Now, instead of Harder going straight through into the box, making a straight run, she actually takes a last minute turn into the box. Now, this leaves a dilemma for the center back to go: do I stick with Harder, or do I go across and try and stop the cross because my fullback isn't able to catch up? And that center back kind of decides to go straight across. Harder gets, you know, gets into a position into the box where she's almost unmarked, and you know, the cross doesn't exactly go in; it gets blocked. But that's just an example of her intelligence and positioning and knowing three moves ahead where she wants to go and what she wants to do. Equally, she is excellent off the ball, and I think that's an underrated part of her game. She works extremely hard for someone who plays in such an attacking position. Now, it's weird because against Bayern Munich she didn't actually have that much of an effect off the ball, but like Evan, like you said, she the whole team, you know, they try and cut passing lanes, and her main job in that Bayern game was, okay, where can I cut passing lanes and where can I force the opposition to go? Because again, what Wolfsburg like to try and do is they want to dictate play even when they don't have the ball. So if they're blocking passing lanes, they're automatically saying, okay, you know, opposition, in this case Bayern, you've got no choice. You have to go to this. You have to take this passing option, or you go over the top, we win possession back, and, you know, and we push forward with the ball again. So they kind of force the opposition to play in their hands, and this is where, you know, Harder also comes into play. I mean, she's got 1.67 interceptions per 90 minutes, and she also has attempts 4 recoveries per 90, and 75% of those, so that's almost like 3.5 of those recoveries happen in the opposition half. So automatically you see they love pressing in the opposition half. So once the ball gets into midfield, they don't want it crossing the halfway mark. They want to win it there and then catch the other team off guard and push forward. And like we said, she loves being at the center of the whole thing, take the ball and playing these quick exchanges with players, you know. And while, you know, while the recoveries show more of ability to engage in duels, it clearly shows that, you know, she does a lot of off the ball work, especially in the final third. And she doesn't need to drop all the way back because she does all this hard work, you know, further forward. She generally engages in about 14 duels per game, which in itself is amazingly high for someone who's playing in a striker role, and someone who, you know, where sometimes the team has possession, sometimes it doesn't. It's not a bad effort whatsoever. And I'd like to know your thoughts on that before I move on to her more of her attacking skill set.
Yeah, no, I mean, just like what you said, like such a key component to, specifically going back to that Bayern Munich game I was watching, was her movement and her flexibility between stepping up onto the center halves when they were in possession, or dropping in to help the midfield when, you know, Bayern got, you know, deeper into the Wolfsburg half to try and attack. For being such an efficient and attacking striker, she's so important to how their defensive game works, and being able to cut those passing lanes, because so consistently, one of the biggest, parts of Wolfsburg's pressing game is to try and force these players in the initial buildup of their attack to go wide. And once they go wide, then immediately Wolfsburg jump on them and try and create overloads in these wide spaces and try and create turnovers. Wolfsburg is one of the most, probably most effective teams when it comes to creating these turnovers and being able to, you know, get these attacks that, I mean, they probably have scored countless goals this season and all the previous seasons lately because of like their ability to press these teams into turning the ball over in bad positions with their players higher up the pitch than what they'd like them to be. And Harder is just probably the most important piece to that entire puzzle. And then I'll kind of go preface into just kind of the attacking side of, before you get into it a little bit. Just the biggest thing that stands out to me is just she's always involved, but at the same time, not involved at the same time. Like, her numbers speak for herself, and they're fantastic, but she kind of drifts out of these games sometimes. Just, she's always taking almost a step back and just kind of painting this mental image of the pitch and where everybody is. And just finding, like, it's almost like when you're playing chess and you're 3, 4, 5 moves ahead of your opponent. Like, that's what comes to mind when I think about when I watch her play. It's just, she's always 3 steps ahead of the opponent's defense in terms of what her team's going to do and where she needs to be to get in position to have that chance. And I think that's probably the biggest reason behind just the incredible numbers that she has, is she'll make you forget about her for 2 seconds, and that's just enough time that she needs to get around you and get in behind and score a goal. But she's been fantastic to watch.
That's and I absolutely agree with you. I think her the mental side of her game and her football IQ, I think based on what we both said, is I think it's the biggest standout quality that she has. And it's no wonder that she's considered, you know, top 2-3 players in the world right now. And kind of prefacing off of that, it's her, I mean, obviously she's in the team because of her attacking exploits, and that's why she's she's considered one of the best. And one thing I will say is her passing ability is second to none. She passes better than some central midfielders that we've seen, and her ability to kind of play a range of passes is unparalleled. I mean, if we look at the stats, and we all love our stats here, she plays, last season she had 1.26 through passes, and this season it's gone up to 1.67. Passes from to the final third has gone up from 3.43 to 4.57. And even the accuracy has gone up, from about 71% to about 74.5%. So, I mean, realistically, just looking at those numbers between last season and this season, she's already improved on them. And we haven't even finished the season yet, You'd find the longer you play, the better the statistics get. But in this case, we finished, just over half the season, if not three quarters, and she's still, she's already blowing her numbers in terms of her passing percentages and rates per 90 minutes. So that, I think, is one to watch. And generally speaking, she's kind of having more involvement as this almost like a playmaker for the side, where, and kind of that makes me think again, she's almost again like a trequartista, she's, the play just runs through her. Like she's a mix of all these, I think that's one thing. She's a mix of all these roles. She could be a role influencer when she's ability to find space and use it well, but then she also plays as a false nine because she starts off up front but then drops in and creates space for everybody else. But then her passing statistics kind of suggest that she's almost like the link player, that play runs through her completely, again like a Trequartista, someone like a Francesco Totti for Roma. And if I look at these passes into the box, she's gone from 3.52 to 5.46. I mean, this is harder is the heart and soul of Wolfsburg's build-up play. It's almost difficult to mark her up, but if you manage to do it, you kind of stop more than half of the way Wolfsburg will attack you. And I think that's a key thing. And I'm looking at two pass maps, the one against Bayern Munich and Leverkusen. And when you read the article, if you've read it, you'll have seen this as well. Against, like we said, against more teams where they have more possession, they're playing a lot higher up the pitch, and the center backs have stepped forward, the midfielders have stepped forward, and you'll almost see like the two center midfielders kind of play a little bit further away from each other, while one is still dropping and one is moving further forward. But then same with Harder, she's again dropped into that AMC position, and she's playing a little bit closer to the midfielder so she can receive passes and possession so she can play in the striker. And if you look at the pass map on the right against Leverkusen, she's got a lot of passing links with her number 17, Payor. It's unbelievable. But then again, against Bayern Munich, where they played a little bit off the back foot, she's got a lot less passing links coming into her because, again, there's a lot more off-the-ball work, and she's kind of playing a little bit more of a defensive role there. But again, she's still... a lot of the passes are still coming through her. In some sense, they're still playing through her, whether or not she's providing it to the wide players and getting this, getting the ball to the final third. But again, she's central to their to the team's play, whether it's off the ball or on the ball against more dominant, possession dominant teams or otherwise. And if we look at her, I mean, I'm looking at another example here. She's kind of dropped very deep into midfield, and there are two players right next to her. But, that to her doesn't matter. Collects possession from the center backs, and she, again, like we said, she already knows what she wants to do. She skips past two, one of the players, and plays this immediate quick through ball for the winger who's sitting on the edge of the opposition center backs. And that's kind of opened up the opposition defense with her having dropped quite deep into midfield, kind of almost in line with a very high wing back in this situation. I mean, if we're looking at XG, I mean, I love my XG. I think we both love our XG, and she has got about 1.28 goals per 90 minutes. So she's almost scoring 1.5 goals per game. That's the amount of chances that she's creating or being created for her which is unbelievable and unreal. To kind of play on that, she's taking 6 shots a game, and she's almost got 60% of them, just a shy under 60% on target. And not only is she fantastic by passing the ball, she can take the ball herself and make things happen. She attends about 8 dribbles a game, and plays, and has a success rate of about 54%. So more than half. So out of those 8 dribbles, about 4 of them actually come off. So again, not bad for a player who's kind of the main, who has the ball all the time and is kind of the main link between midfield, defense, and attack. I think overall that's it. I think we've pretty much covered her as a player. And I don't know if you have any more thoughts on her before we kind of get into the links and the rumors that she's had with the English clubs.
Yeah, no, I was just about to say, I think this is a good time to kind of transition into taking everything that we've kind of talked about and see what rumors that have kind of been going around with her make the most sense in terms of where she could possibly end up next summer.
Yeah, so I think there's been 2 major teams who've been after her, or who were after her, and that is Chelsea and Manchester United. And we were just talking off air just before we started this, and we were like, we understand the Man United links. We obviously understand it, and I know the Man United fans that we've got listening to this will be jumping around, going, preach to the choir. But it's a player that they I'm gonna say that they need. And not to upset certain fans, because we know how Jackie Gronin is in for the team and everybody else. But obviously, Harder would come in and play that position. You can't not start her, so she would have to start. And I think United would be just a whole different animal with her in the side. I think she'd bring them kind of stability and possession. And I think she'd be the perfect foil for Katie Zellum, for me. I think that would also change the play style of Lauren James. Lauren James is one who kind of loves to drop in and kind of play in the half spaces, right? Where I think we'll see Lauren James play a bit more of an advanced forward role, where she's not going to drop in as much, and she'll let that happen. She'll let Harder do that work and kind of play her. And because again, like we've seen her through the season, she's excellent going in behind, and once the ball is in the box, she can control the ball, release passes and release shots from whether she's surrounded by 3, 4, or 5 players. And I think that combination would be great. And like I said, with Zellum, for me, Zellum needs players around her who are moving, so she's got moving targets. She's almost like, again, like I think I had referenced her in my analysis of her a few months ago. She's almost like the Cesc Fabregas of the team, where she just takes position, she's just spraying passes. But if the team is static, especially with the 2 fullbacks not being as mobile as other teams have, you need the other players to be moving. And whereas Jackie Gronin's a bit more industrious of a player, and they obviously that's fantastic for what it is. I think if you have someone like Harder who's constantly moving and can take more dangerous and more, like, she can kind of play riskier passes because she knows she's going to gamble on the run, you can automatically start creating more chances. And I think that would be almost kind of like a Cesc Fabregas, Diego Costa sort of or Eden Hazard sort of partnership there, where the one player just knows, I'm going to throw this ball over the top, and I just know that the player is just going to get there. I don't know what your thoughts on this, but I think that's my assessment of kind of how she'd fit in at United.
The biggest, you touched on it briefly, but Lauren James is the biggest person that I think would benefit the most from Harder coming in. Well, just because I think you can find similarities in their play style in terms of wanting to kind of drop deep and get super involved and play a lot of the times. I guess a case could be made for the idea of they're potentially clashing at times with their play styles. But I also look at it from the standpoint of if you set up in a game with Harder at an attacking midfielder position, you have Ladd and Zellum back and holding in that double pivot, and then you have James up top. You've got 2 players in those 2 central positions that can just interchange at will. And just if they're able to, if hypothetically, of course, with all this stuff, like those two together, finding a strong connection. I mean, with their off the ball movements and their abilities on the ball, I mean, the sky is the limit for those two together. I think that just their ability to drop in and just give Casey Stoney just completely different amount of dynamics to work with. She can play them both up top at the same time in games. Because one thing that I think we've seen with United is they have one very distinct setup with how they run their team, and they don't really have, there's not the next like different step for them. And I think we've seen some kind of problems with that surface up in games where, you know, they're more expected to dominate possession and attack player teams. And, you know, for when teams sit in deep and United's reliance on, you know, themselves defending deep and hitting teams on the counter. I think if you put that dynamic of being able to line up in a 4-4-2 or something like that with Harder alongside James and being able to work the same way we see sometimes Wolfsburg work, I think that would be a huge step in their progression towards, you know, ultimately I think what they're wanting to do is start consistently challenging with the best of the best in England. I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. Agreed. It will really transform them more than anything they can think of. But then the question is, does Harder want to go to a team that isn't in the Champions League? And does she? How long does she think the team is ready to take that next step? Like, is she, you know, is she the final piece in the puzzle, or if not the final piece, at the final one or two pieces that they'd want to get, you know, over the summer? Because I don't think she'd want to move there and then kind of have to wait 3-4 years of her prime and not win anything. You know, she's used to winning at Wolfsburg. I don't know, maybe next season, you know, getting Harder, and if they managed to pull her in, might attract one or two other players, and they could launch a big, you know, big shot at the title, the Conti Cup, and you know, places for the Champions League. But, you know, does Harder want to wait 2-3 seasons is the real question here. Well, but, you know, moving on from Man United, I think the other team that we need to address now is Chelsea. And I think this baffled the two of us, because we're sitting here thinking, how in the world are Chelsea going to fit in Pernille Harder? We know Magdalena Eriksson is there. Her girlfriend is at the club, and obviously links would come up, and she'd want her there. But they're pretty stacked in four positions. I mean, they've got Bethany England, they've got Sam Kerr, they've got an injured Fran Kirby right now, Aaron Cuthbert's still around, they've got Drew Spence, they've got Guru Wrighton. I mean, tell me, where do you fit in a Pernille Harder? Because they don't even play with a natural number 10. They play a 4-4-2. Okay, they did play a 4-2-3-1 when they made, okay. Thinking about it, the only time I see this, if it depends on how long term or Kirby's injury is, because when Kirby was playing, they did play a 4-2-3-1, and we know Kerr can play in that formation as well. So maybe they getting in Harder to kind of play as, you know, as an alternative to Kirby, and kind of giving them almost two world class players per position. So this would kind of allow them the tactical flexibility to switch from a 4-4-2 to a 4-2-3-1, not only in game, but then in different sort of situations. And not to forget, they're headed towards Champions League qualification for next season. So that's another tournament that they would have to contend for. And if they want to be able to beat the likes of Lyon, PSG, Arsenal, all these teams in the Champions League, you kind of need a deep squad, and kind of playing, kind of having Harder, Kirby, England, Kerr, Wrighton, Cuthbert in your squad kind of gives you that liberty to do it. Just look at Manchester City, both the women's and the men's team. You could look at Arsenal women's team in the Champions League. I mean, they've got squad depth for days. Like, City are just, you know, they if one is in, like, if you've got Ellen White injured, you've got Pauline Bremer. In the case of a right back, if you've got Eofy Menian injured, you can pull up Janine Becky and transform your entire thing. And she's doing wonders from right back. So the team and Caroline Weir, Kira Walsh, to kind of Jill Scott. I mean, these teams have incredible depth. So I can kind of see why Chelsea want to go in for her, and they'd be able to offer her Champions League football. They look like they're going to win the league this season. They could even potentially, you know, challenge for the Champions League next season. And their ambitions are there. They can say, look, we've just signed potentially the world's best striker in Sam Kerr. We've got the best striker in England in Bethany, England, in our squad. We've got one of the more creative players in Fran Kirby. And we've just picked up Norway's finest in Gura Reitan last summer. So, and then her own girlfriend partner is playing at centre back with Millie Bright. What else can you know? That's I think that kind of speaks for itself. I don't. What are your thoughts on the Chelsea links?
Yeah, no, it's kind of it's been insane to kind of watch Chelsea, especially this year, and just I mean they have just put their foot on the pedal and they're just going for it. And I think the biggest statement of intent, like of course, was the signing of Sam Kerr in January, and they're obviously wasting no time and not resting on their laurels or anything with these links with Harder. But yeah, I definitely see your point of it starts to become a serious question of, all right, how are you going to be able to consistently, you know, have these players? And I think one thing that comes to mind, while it looks nice on paper, I don't know exactly how feasible it is to have those four world-class players in two positions and just kind of fighting for starting. I mean, no, somebody's not going to be happy. There's some serious time periods in like the women's season that kind of you need that serious squad depth. But, you know, going on the other side, there's large parts of the season as well where there's only one game a week where you're able to get that full rest time. You don't exactly need that. So I think that'd be one kind of contention point to that idea is squad depth is important, but I think there is a too much squad depth to that idea. And like I said, asking any one of those, whether it be England, Kirby, or Harder, if she were to come in to sit on the bench for large portions of the season, is just a hard task to do. But if we're focusing on mainly just the tactical idea of her in the squad, I think she just continues to add to that ability that Chelsea have just to be just super flexible with their tactics, like they were just kind of like we talked about with Wolfsburg for periods of time. Just being able to play those different kind of dynamics with their players and having them be able to play in multiple positions, they would be very similar to Wolfsburg in that sense. You know, having England kind of as that number nine, and then you have Kerr and you have Harder, who could, you know, their best form might not be in that kind of role, but they can also do it too, and they also excel at working alongside of Bethany England. Long story, put it short, I think it could work out extremely well. Do I think that one will happen? Probably not, just due to the amount of players that Chelsea already have. But definitely one that's interesting to look out for.
Yeah, no, definitely. And if anybody wants to read, we've got a couple of pieces up on the site in the magazine where Gavin has talked in depth about how United's playing style for this season, and you know, potentially you could go and read that and kind of take the context of what we've said here, kind of apply to there, and you'd kind of maybe have a better understanding of kind of where you know, how Harder could fit. And I know I've done a piece in the December magazine on Chelsea's 4-4-2 and the different combinations with Beth England and Sam Kerr, if you want a bit more detail on their style of play and their 4-4-2 in different formation changes. But I think it's been a good episode, my man. We finally delivered with the Wolfsburg analysis that we've been asking, people have been asking, and I hope this has been fun for people. We've just hit the 60-minute mark. I think this is the longest podcast we've done to date. So it goes to show how much we've enjoyed talking about Wolfsburg and Harder in general. But like we said, listen, keep it locked. We've enjoyed doing this. you know, the feedback's been fantastic. You know, we appreciate everybody's messages and comments coming in, and we'd love to know again what you'd like to hear. Because it was fun. I mean, we wanted to do foreign clubs for a while, but we saw Wolfsburg was up there. Said, all right, let's have a look at Wolfsburg last week, and we were both blown away by how well they were. So we appreciate and thank everybody for pulling us towards Wolfsburg first. Anyway, keep a locked at Total Analysis on Twitter for more fantastic content. You know, at Real Gavin Ford for Gavin on Twitter, at KUNABD for me. I'm on 499 followers. Someone please give me number 500. I really want to get to 500. So that would be quite an achievement and quite the thing. So anyway, we will see you same time next week, hopefully. And yeah, well, have a good night.